Are you a scaling SaaS founder?
Ready to make the leap from leading a team to leading an organization? Join us each week as we refill your think tank with actionable tips and strategies from great business minds you know and those you don't know yet. This is SaaS Fuel with your host, five-time entrepreneur, SaaS founder, and globetrotting adventurer, Jeff Mains.
Welcome back to the SaaS Fuel podcast, where flipping through pages and sipping on an espresso is an idea of our perfect blend, literary caffeine for the soul. I'm your host, Jeff Mains. I help B2B SaaS founders like you grow from traction to scale. Here, growth is more than just numbers. It's about crafting a future-proof company, premium valuation, and leaders who build a business of significance while living epic, adventurous lives. I'll never forget the day I stumbled into a tiny bookshop and found my new favorite place. If you remember an old TV show called Cheers, or maybe you've seen reruns, it really reminded me of that place, you know, where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. It was like Cheers, but with books and espresso. It's pretty awesome. First time in, I got a little tour, chit-chat, what do you like to read, and good conversation, good for customer service, fantastic coffee. It's like a great experience. And I have to just take a little break here. Does anybody else like the smell of old books? Does that bring back great memories? Who else likes that? Drop me a comment below. So I had this great experience. And then the next time I came in, the staff greeted me by name, offered some reflections on my last purchase, and recommended the perfect new novel based on what they knew I liked. Like, what? Are you kidding? How do you know this? Are you stalking me? How do they do that? They have like a camera as I was walking in and like, you know, pull it up in the database and everybody go look, but they just remembered. And they even asked if I wanted a double espresso again or if I wanted to mix it up this time. Like, this is just crazy, like the Twilight Zone. But the thing was, every time the door opened and somebody new came in, it was like they were all old friends. They personalized their service and created a whole experience that puts Amazon's algorithms to shame. It reminded me that customer experience is the ultimate competitive advantage. Here's why it matters so much. First is that experience builds loyalty, not just satisfaction. Great experiences create an emotional bond, not just a transactional one. Neuroscience shows that we're wired to crave experiences over products alone. Deliver a distinctive, meaningful experience and customers will keep coming back. The second is referrals. You know, it drives growth through word of mouth. I mean, I'm talking about it right now. And in the social media age, yeah, experience is the word of mouth currency. One amazing customer experience leads, I don't know, a dozen social reviews. You know, conversely, one bad experience gets blasted all over the place for everybody to see. So experiences give people something compelling to talk about. Number three is that it attracts top talent who want purpose. What do I mean by that? The best people today want to work for companies with greater purpose beyond profits. Building a renowned customer experience, something that you're really known for, gives your team something inspiring to rally behind. You guys know how much I like Chick-fil-A. It's that same kind of thing. Why are their people so awesome? Because they're rallying behind that purpose. Experience can't be automated or copied. It makes you stand out from competitors in a sea of similar products and pricing. Obsess over every touch point and make your customer say, wow. Do that and you'll build a tribe of advocates eager to share your story. Our expert last week was Justin Chi, founder of Cold Email Hackers. Justin shared the latest in what works in email trends and his process for getting the message really dialed in before scaling it up. Don't want to miss that. And our founder last Tuesday was Roland Siebling, three-time founder and builder of three unicorns. We talked about leading organizations, keys to scaling without growing to death, and how to get your SaaS on the fast track. If you missed either of those episodes, go back and give them a listen. My guest today is Jace Friedman, founder and CEO of CX Formula. J Jason is a master in transforming customer experiences into revenue. With a background in lighting and production designs for iconic bands like Fleetwood Mac and a knack for creating unforgettable moments, he's now dedicated to helping companies craft their own rock star customer journeys. Put your lighters in the air for Jason Friedman.
Hey, Jason, welcome to SaaS Fuel.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff. Excited to be here with you today.
I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey. You self-described theater nerd to becoming a successful serial entrepreneur. I mean, what inspired that transformation?
Yeah, it's been a journey, right? You know, as a young boy, I found myself doing behind-the-scenes theater stuff, like building sets, doing lighting, and so on and so forth. And it became, I became addicted to it. And so all from the early ages at summer camp, from like 8 or 9 years old, all the way through high school, and then into college, I was doing theater. So live shows, whether it be dance or musical theater, or whatever. And what was so intoxicating about it really was that audience reaction, right? Like you do all this stuff and it's all designed for someone to experience it. And when they do, and you've done it well, they give you a standing ovation. And there's nothing like that kind of opening night excitement and the jitters and the fear on stage, and then having that audience kind of love on you because they really were moved by it. And it's pretty cool. And so over the years, I learned how to tell a story in a different way, how to use, you know, multiple senses. Like, you know, when you do theater, it's like the costumes and the props and the lighting and all these different things that help tell the story. It's not all the dialogue and like what the actors do. It's all the things. And so I had this kind of Mr. Miyagi, Karate Kid, wax on, wax off experience where at the end of this journey, it's like I knew how to create a compelling experience for people. And so we started doing it with businesses. And so my first real business was actually doing audio video, like bringing theatrical technology into physical places like retail stores, corporate environments, you know, theme parks, you name it. Like, how do we actually bring things to life in a place that is normally bland, right? And so that's where it started, and bringing all that cool technology stuff in. And it quickly evolved because we started asking different questions, right? So the first question that we asked, someone wanted us to put, they weren't LED screens, but they were like old television screens, hanging them up in a retail store. And we were like, awesome. So like, why are we putting these up? Like, what do you want to happen as a result of doing it? And they were like, you know what? Like, we don't have an answer for that. And so we started like really talking about like the audience. Like, so when a customer comes in, like, what do you want them to do or feel, or how do you want them to experience your store? That TV is going to play a role in, or what is the media that you would put on that TV, right? And so it started to really focus in on the why and the audience, and how are we creating this thing that's tailored to that audience? And man, like, it expanded into like, that's been my whole journey. It's like, how do we help businesses connect more deeply with their customers? And every business I've had, the through line for me is, how do we create a remarkable experience that turns our customers into our marketing, where our experience is the marketing? It's the things that fill our funnel, that help us get bigger results, that help our business grow, because we're obsessing over helping our customers grow as well. And so it just, I guess, happy accident that from theater to business, but it served me well. And I think my clients as well.
That's very cool. And that's a question that's asked a lot in theaters. I mean, every scene is really set up with the idea in mind of what is the audience experiencing in this moment? What are they experiencing in the scene? What's the emotional arc? What are we trying to communicate?
Totally.
And I think that applies very much to business and client experience. It's really important. So I love that you bring those elements in and you're asking the right questions.
Yeah, cool. I appreciate you asking that.
You've done a lot with, you know, creating those kinds of experiences. You know, tell me some about that, and how should we be thinking about that in our own businesses to create great customer experience? What does it look like, and how do we create that in our own business?
Yeah, you know, like, I've been doing this now for a really long time. It's approaching 30 years, right? Which dates me, I know. But there's like, here's the observation I have. We as businesses, like everyone listening to this has a business more than likely, right? Or they work in a company, right? And so like, here's the thing. Without realizing it, we all make it hard to be our customer. We all make it hard for our customers to win. And we don't realize it. And so what ends up happening when I start like working with clients or they come in and take a program of ours or whatever, is we start to look at it from a different perspective, right? And so for most of us as business owners, we're looking at the whole journey that our customers go on, like every step that they go on. We're looking at it and we end up selfishly, because how else? We've always been looking through our eyes. We're really looking at it from our perspective, from the business perspective, even when we think we're looking at it from their perspective. And when we actually flip the script and really put people into the shoes of their customers and walking the walk that way, we start to see how even things that we put in place intentionally to make it easier might have a perception of difficulty to our clients. And so a big challenge I think that all of us have is that it's like, how do we actually look at what we're asking of our clients? And how do we make it easier for our clients to get results, to do business with us? And perhaps even, like if we're crazy, how to have fun while they do that business with us, right?
Love it.
Right? Because we love to do business with people that we like. We love to have a good time, right? People pay more for good experiences. Like, how much does it cost to go on to a theme park and ride the rides? We pay it all day long because we want that experience. We want the fun, right? And so we can have that daily in all the interactions we have with the different businesses we interact with and the employees within the companies also. And so, like, I think the biggest challenge that we have is to really look at that from the customer perspective and say, like, okay, how can we remove friction? How can we take resistance and things that are more difficult either out of the way completely or at least reduce the amount of friction, right? I like to think of it like a water slide, right? If you think about like going on a water slide, if there's not quite enough water and it's not really fluid, you get stuck.
Yeah,
you're going down, right? But if there's lots of water and it's rushing, even if the water slide goes up, you're able to come and go over that hump and go past that friction because there was enough momentum boosting you on that journey.
Yeah.
And so that's how we like to think about it with customers. And just, I don't care if you're a software company or a shoe store. I don't care if you're online, offline. It doesn't matter. We all have customers and they all have an experience with us. They all go on a journey with us. And for us, it's really important to flip the script, look at it from their perspective, and make it easier to do business.
What are some ways that we make that hard for them? And then how do we flip that around, make it where it's easy and a great experience?
I'll give you a simple example, right? So onboarding, right? So like, first of all, I think onboarding, and I think it's a misunderstood concept, right? Like, I don't know how everyone in the world defines it. How I define it is it's how we take people into a new stage of a relationship. And I think we onboard people at every key transition in a relationship, right? Hmm. So onboarding is not just at the beginning. Obviously, in the beginning, it's the most important part. First impressions are so important. But as they evolve, as our customers grow and change, or we offer them, you know, different products and services or different levels of things, there's a transition and we have to do a smooth handoff and a smooth onboarding from one part to the next. It's a different thing. The relationship's evolving, right? And so in the beginning, like the typical company that I've seen, they're like, okay, my customer needs all this information so that they can be successful. So I'm going to give it to them right away so they have it all. And so we overload them on like housekeeping, logistics, like information. So I'm the customer. I just spent some money. I was excited. And then all of a sudden I'm like feeling a little overwhelmed and buyer's remorse starts setting in. And I'm like, oh my gosh, did I make the right decision? Look at all this stuff I have to do. Look at all this stuff I have to know. Ah, right.
Yeah.
And as the company, we're like, we want to give them everything. So they have it. Like it's, and so there's this mismatch of like expectations and understanding in those moments. Right. And so what we try and help people do is, how do we, again, bring them into the relationship smoothly? What do they need to know now, right? Right? When people buy something, if they sign up for a free trial with software or they actually pay the money, whatever it is, it's an intention. It's actually not a commitment, right? And so it's our job as a business to earn their commitment as they go through this process. And once they do, then they're going to be with us for a long time. And we earn that commitment by making it easier for them, by doing what we say, by building that trust, by when we say, hey, listen, here's how we're going to, we know that, you know, coming into a new relationship, buying a new software, buying a new product, but it's overwhelming, it's complicated. And we want to make it as easy as possible. In fact, we know that people like you often think this and this. And so we start to use language of what's going on in their head to make them feel heard and seen and understood. And then as we start to piece it out and bite-size the onboarding and chunk it up in ways that make sense for the steps they have to go through, they start to feel relieved and relaxed and supported, right? So like there's one simple way that we can like think about that. And most businesses aren't doing it. It's a huge opportunity for people.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's, we've done that ourselves where, you know, onboarding and it's like, here's everything that you need to know because you might want to know all this stuff at some point. And yeah. It is. It's like trying to drink from a fire hose and instead of walking them through. Another mistake, I think, is looking at onboarding from our perspective and doing things that are convenient for us or our team, not necessarily in the interest of the client, even though we think that we are.
Yeah. What's so funny about that? I love that. Like, I love that so much because here's the, like the contrary thing that happens, right? So we assume that if we make it easier for our customers, it's going to be more work for our team. And what always ends up happening is as we make it simpler and easier for our customers, it gets simpler and easier for our team because there's more clarity. Number one, there's less support issues, there's less complaints, and there's less, you know, there's less mismatch, right? And so we are always making it easier. The more that we build the system around making it easier for our customers, the more our team actually knows what to do, the more we can automate things, the more we can actually, you know, make it simpler on both sides. And so while we think like, oh, we got to make it easier for our team, it's too much to do, more often than not, when we make it easier for the customer, we make it easier for the team. In most cases, I'll actually have people remove things that they were doing for years because they thought that it was helping. It was so good. We'll save tons of time and money by like simplifying it, right? So I have a great friend, her name's Ann Wilson. She has this quote, she always says, boring is beautiful. And I think sometimes that's true. Like we don't have to make it crazy on the backside. Like it can be a boring, simple process on the inside that is beautifully simple and that helps people get what they need, right? And so as we think about it, like we try and sometimes build these overly complex systems to do stuff that we really don't even need to be doing. And so it's just interesting because, as I said, when you look at it from that customer perspective and you start simplifying it, there's a win internally and externally.
Yeah, yeah. Last time we talked, you talked about the four key variables in understanding the customer journey. Talk about that and how they fit into creating that experience.
Yeah, thanks for that question. So, you know, like ultimately, like we're all in business to make money and have an impact, right? We want to help people get results. We want them to be able to, you know, do whatever our product or service provides and do it well and help them. And so that ideal result for us is that their clients get their results. They rave about their experience with us would be amazing, right? They renew their subscriptions or their memberships with us, right? If they have recurring software, whatever, they return to buy more products from us. And ultimately, they recruit others. Like they love what they went through so much that they want to tell other people and they feel compelled to tell other people, right? Even if we don't compensate them for it. They just love what we've done so much. They know that it's so valuable. They want to share it with other people. So if we frame that up as the ideal result, then like how do we get there? Like what does that journey need to look like, right? And that journey needs to be really dissected. And there's four things for these four variables that really help us get to that place of that ideal result. And those variables are attitudes, behaviors, friction, and momentum. Okay. And so attitudes are like, it's how people are thinking or expecting about something. So imagine your customers like having the worst day of their life, like somebody bumped into their car on the way to work and this is that and it's happening. Like, you know, their dog ate their homework, all sorts of bad stuff happening. Yeah. And then they come into your business, right? And now they start working with you. You can't control that, right? So they may have a negative attitude. That negative attitude or a frustrated attitude, what is it going to do? It's going to change the behaviors that they take that day, right? And so what we have to do is we start to have to understand the attitudes that our people are having at each step within our journey. And even if we can't control them, we have to be aware of them, right? Because we will actually do other things to help influence those attitudes to help them, right? So attitudes actually inform the behaviors that people take. Now, obviously, for all of our businesses, we need people to do things to get results, right? And so we have to understand what those behaviors are that people are doing. Now,
beyond the attitude and what people are thinking and feeling affecting behaviors, there's also those friction points, right? The things that are harder. Maybe it takes more work. Maybe it takes more thought. Maybe it's uncomfortable. It's out of someone's comfort zone. And so whatever these things that are that kind of slowing people down or making it more difficult, it's that water slide, there's not enough water. So there's too much friction stopping me from going down the water slide, or I'm driving in my car. Now I start going uphill. I have to give it more gas because that gravity and friction is slowing me down, right? And so friction affects all those things. So we can do everything right, but there could be so much friction in the journey for the customers that they still don't take those actions that they need to, and they're not getting those results, right? And so that's where the fourth variable of momentum comes in. And that's where we try and, you know, grease the skids. We add more water to the water slide.
Yeah.
And so we look at different ways that we can add support, add motivations, add, you know, whatever it happens to be. It might be some mindset stuff even along the journey for people, just to get them feeling positive, or setting an expectation of like, look, this part's going to be the hardest part, but right on the other side, it's like all downhill. It's going to be fun. It could be something that simple that helps to give people a boost of momentum to help them get through the next step. So as we look at these four variables together, the way we do it is we look at that on a, what we call a journey, right? And so we map out every single step of a journey that a prospect, so even before they know about our business potentially, goes on, all the way through like buying our program, our products, our services, and all the way through using them and then hopefully upgrading to the next level or renewing or telling other people. And as we go through that journey, Jeff, what we're doing is we're analyzing every single step. Now, it sounds overwhelming, right? But what we do is we build a map. So it's a picture that shows every step that a customer goes through. And a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? You start to see the gaps. Now, the key to all of this, the key to doing all this, understanding the four variables, reading the four variables, and mapping all this out, is that we do it through the eyes of the customer, not the company. So it's a hard exercise to do, because we go through our own lens, right? And you might be like, oh, yeah, I send the customer an email. No, on the map, it's the customer receives an email. Right. It's the difference between us versus them. Right. And then you start thinking, oh, as a customer, do I want to receive an email? Maybe I want to receive a text message. Maybe I want to receive a voice note. Maybe I don't want anything at all. Right. So it changes how we think about these things a bit. And so at each of these steps, we break it up into five more variables. Right. So those five variables, the first thing we do is like, what are they doing at every single step all the way across the journey? And then once you get that, then we go deep on each one. So it's like, what are they thinking and expecting? The attitudes, right? So we had behaviors, what are they doing? That's the easiest one to do. Then we look at what are they thinking and expecting? What are they using? Who are they interacting with? And last and most important, how are they feeling at each step? And so when you go through this, you're really like, you're mapping. You'll see this like crazy sine wave, like this roller coaster of how people are feeling throughout this entire journey. And then you start to see all the friction points, like they just reveal themselves and big, huge gaps. Like we've had people go through this. We do these in like live workshops. We have an online course where we teach this. And we have people, founders of companies, entrepreneurs that have built this, it's their baby. They weep because they feel badly that they've created big holes, right? And others, and then there's spots where they feel like they rejoice and they're like, wow, like that's why they're getting results here, right? It's an emotional journey for us. Also, because you start to really see it. And once you identify those friction points, now the hard work comes in. It's like, okay, how do we make it simpler? How do we make it easier? How do we reduce or eliminate those? And what's fun about that is a lot of times it might be four steps earlier that you have to do something to eliminate the friction point that's four steps later.
Interesting.
So you're really looking at how do you craft this whole thing, right? It's like you're not going to get a downhill on a roller coaster unless you go uphill first. So you have to go back and say, okay, what do I have to do? How do I go upstream and see what's going on there that'll affect what's happening downstream, right? So you get to really be artistic, right? We're all creative people in our businesses and whatever. This is where it's like art and science. Like you're seeing like logistically and logically what all's there. And now it's like, okay, how could I make this better? You get to bring some of your creative juices in and start to think about what do you do to make it better for those people. And so it's a lot of fun to do it.
That is really cool. Just thinking about that, And I like the idea of looking upstream and just figuring out, here's the friction point, and maybe that's it. Maybe it's something we need to figure out earlier on. And so I like having that entire map, but looking at it that way and in every single step. You find yourself adding steps or replacing steps, removing typically happens?
All of those, right? All of those, right? So what you'll find is, like, very simple example, like in one of my previous companies, we had four steps that we were doing that were all backstage, right? They weren't touching the customer, but there were things that my team were doing that had literally no value. Like, no, it wasn't doing anything. It was just stuff that we had done at one point before we had a piece of technology that supported it, and nobody ever saw it. And so it was work that everyone hated doing. It was like drudgery work. It cost a lot of money in, like, materials. Like, we were, like, making copies and shipping things. It was crazy. Like, we saved almost, like, it was like $180,000 over the course of a year by eliminating these four steps in our business. And it was like, oh my God, how long has this been going on for? Right. So, like, that's just one example. We were just removed those. It had zero effect on the customer. Right. But we wouldn't have even noticed that unless we mapped out all the steps of what was going on. Then with that same experience, we started looking at what's happening with the customer, and we realized, like, we really are not good at communicating with our customer. Like, they are in the dark a lot while things are happening, and there's so much happening. If they knew about it, they would probably feel pretty grateful about the stuff we're doing, especially when it comes to renewal time for a contract, thinking, wow, these guys are really working their tushies off, right? And so we had to get to a place where we, like, learned how to actually share, not in an overwhelming way, but giving them updates and feeding clients information. Like, maybe a lot of us do things that make things so easy for our customers, they almost forget the value that we're creating. And in our case, that was happening. And so we found that we needed to add some steps of communication to the client that made them feel more supported and more knowledgeable what was happening for their business. So it could be things like that. It could be things like I said, like in the onboarding, where you might have one step for onboarding where you just vomit all this stuff in an email to people, and that may need to be chunked up into four steps over a period of 30 days or something like that, right? So sometimes it's adding more steps. Sometimes it's simplifying things and removing some steps. Sometimes it's tweaking a step, right? So, and then other times, Jeff, it's adding variable steps. And so, like, we all have different avatars or different customers, right? Not all customers are the same, right? So we might have some, like, if-then statements in our journey that we realize, wow, you know, we've been treating everyone the same, and they're not. And so this is actually really helpful to 60% of our customers, but it's really frustrating to 40%. And so we might have to find a way to segment our customers and know who they are and adjust our journey so it's personalized a bit, you know, mass customized for the types of customers we have. And so in some cases, it's creating, you know, a few different highway lanes that have some slightly different turns in it for the different customers that we have.
Picture this, your entire team aligned and just unstoppable, building a future-proof business with total clarity on what success looks like. It's easier than you think with Champion Leadership Group. Whether growth is booming, a little flat, or you feel like your solution is the world's best kept secret, we've got you covered. Ditch those time-sucking spreadsheets for a SaaS operating system that turbocharges your team with scorecards and KPIs and makes leading the company 10 times easier and you 20 times more effective. Add that to a community of scaling SaaS founders and on-demand access to a fractional C-suite. Pretty cool. It's all designed to unlock your company's full potential, support higher valuation, and elevate you from an engaged operator to an empowered owner. Say goodbye to manual madness and hello to world-class business operations. Now is the time to upgrade from traction to scale. Learn more at championleadership.com, where leaders evolve and companies transform.
That's really smart. I've been really thinking about it in a very granular way. It's not one size fits all, but really to choose your own adventure based on who they are and what they want to do.
100%. And I think that's, like, probably, like, the second biggest mistake I see people make is that it's like we treat everybody as this one size fits all approach. And, you know, especially now with, like, AI and everything being more and more tailored based on, you know, user behaviors or user input, we as businesses have to adopt that also. There's an expectation of relevance that we all are growing more and more rapidly every day, right? And so if you start to think about like the sea of competition out there, if your business really is treating everybody as a one size fits all, and there's a competitor that's one Google search or one click away that is actually personalizing the experience and making it feel a little bit more special, a little bit more relevant, a little bit more tailored, they're going to win, right? And so it's important today more than ever. And that's one of those things where it might seem like a little more work, like our team has to do two things, right? Two different things instead of one thing, but the value could be exponential in terms of client retention, referrals, word of mouth, so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's really good. And then think about like communication. Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of companies struggle with. And just thinking about examples as you were talking about that, whether it's having the time up there for the time to the next train, for example, or even something as simple as like the Domino's pizza tracker. What do we all want to know? It's like, when's it going to be ready? When's it going to be, or when can I go pick it up? And so very simple things that keep the customer in the loop and keep that communication going. And, what is it they're thinking? What are they feeling? What do they want to know right now on the journey?
Yeah, you said another really important thing, and that's like understanding where they are on the journey, not just how much time is left, but also how many more steps there are, right?
So, that's good. Like, yeah.
Right? So like when you're on the highway and you're like, oh, it's 10 more miles till I get here, like there's a reason they did that, right?
Yes.
Like we
as
people, we have this curiosity and this need to know. And so the more that we're able to let people see the progress they've made and where they're heading and the steps like that they have coming up, it creates an ease, right, for the customers. Yeah. and a comfort. And if you really do lean into the progress side, like look where you started at step one, you're on step 40, like you've made amazing progress, then they're measuring, it's a positive experience for them. If it's like, oh, you have 30 more steps to go, that's like, I have 30 more steps to go.
Yeah.
Versus, wow, you're over 60% of the way there. Like amazing. Like that's fantastic, right? So as you start to think about those mile markers, like how do you put that in so that people do see the progress that they've made and see where they have to go all along their journey? It's an important piece of the puzzle as well.
Yeah, that is really important. As you think about it, if the sign says 100 miles, like, I don't know if I can do that. That sounds like a lot of work. But if it's 10 miles, all right, I can hang for another 10 miles. And it may be 10 mile steps, but there's progress in there. They're seeing the results. They're getting some feedback. It's not one big, long drive.
And that's another opportunity to add some more steps into your process, right? So like if you have a long stretch, this is what I was saying, like with our clients, we had a long stretch where we had no communication, right? So they're just in this black hole of like, how many more miles do we have to go, right? They have no idea like what's happening. So we added in some steps of communication, like, hey, we've accomplished these 10 things. That's awesome. Like, this is what we're working on now. And so they were like, wow, like look at all the stuff that's happening and all the progress we're making. And so what you might find in your business, if you're in one of those situations where it's like, wow, it's 100 miles and that's a long trip for people, or it's going to be, 3 months to implement this. And that's like a long time and people are feeling antsy. You might actually really look at that journey and say, look, there's like 7 key steps that we're going to go on over these so that they're getting to a point that you can celebrate. You celebrate that win of that point and that win. So it's not, 3 months of time as the win. It's step one is in like maybe 3 days, and then it's 7 days, and then it's 15 days. So you're giving it some excitement and you're changing the variable. So it's not every week, right? Because that almost feels monotonous and I stop tuning in. If it's at different variable times, it's a little bit of a surprise and delight in some ways, right? Even if you set the expectation in the beginning, it's still like, wow, like we made a lot of progress quickly, right? And so one of the concepts we teach, I think we talked about this, is the idea of time to first value.
Yeah,
right.
That's so important.
Right? 100%, right? So the shorter the amount of time to the first win, the perceived value that a client gets, the more likely they are to stick with you, to feel good, to stay engaged. And so as you think about setting up your journey, right, even if it's already there, we start to like transform it. We call it a journey is like what you had in the past. A pathway is what you have in the future. So we try and help people create kinetic pathways that kind of make people fluidly move along them. And so as you're doing this and you're putting up those mile markers, it's like, where do we need a boost right? So these might be like these momentum boosters that you put in. It's like, wow, congratulations. Like you made it to this thing and you did it in record time. Only 2 days and we're here. Congratulations. Like you're amazing. You're doing really well. Our next milestone is going to be here. As soon as you hit this and this, we'll be there and we'll reach out and let you know or whatever it happens to be for your business, right? And so as you start to put these steps in there, what you're doing is you're showing the client the progress, you're celebrating the wins, and they're feeling that momentum, right? That they're in that flow channel. It's like when you play a video game, right? When you're gaming, if you play games, you have kids that play games, you like, they artificially, like the beginning, it's easier, right? You don't have to have all the skills, and they celebrate you and you win awards. And then it gets a little harder as you get better. And as you get better, it gets a little harder and it takes a little longer to beat the dragon or whatever you're doing, right? And so it's the same thing in our business. Like when someone first comes in, it's got to be the easiest. And then it can get a little bit harder as they go on that journey because they're also building up trust. We're building relationship. They're getting skills. They're getting results. And so all of a sudden, like it builds, right? And so, and then you add in the fun layer. So like they're actually enjoying it. You know, you enjoy that. That's cool. Like that's how you're going to build a really sustainable scaling business.
I like that. You're taking that intention and turning it into commitment one little step at a time.
Exactly. I mean, that's what better way is there to build commitment and have people, it's like, you know, like I had a coach who's literally changed my life, Dan Sullivan from The Strategic Coach.
Oh yeah.
And you know, Dan, like one of the things that, you know, he always like talked about was this whole idea of that kind of success, right? Like where, like the commitment is something like you have to earn this, right? And you have to keep selling people. Like, again, like they have an intention when they buy from you, right? Yeah. But they're not truly sold yet, right? And so we have to keep making sales to them on what they already bought, right? Not that we have to upsell them, but we have to keep selling them that they made a good decision, right? Because we have this whole thing going on in our head. We have all these cognitive biases. All the sins of the past are there and they've tried to make our brain make decisions easier so it doesn't have to burn calories, right? And so like in our course, we talk a lot about the psychology of this because there's a lot of psychology. And so we get excited when a customer wins. And then as the business, we're like, awesome, you're in. Let me go get another customer. Instead of like,
right.
Oh, you're in. Let me make sure that you win inside, right? And so like that's like we want to flip the funnel, so to speak, and have people spend a lot more resource and intention and time on obsessing over clients getting success and getting results because they become your marketing, right? Those success stories fill your funnel. Those success stories, and they fill it with energy, with authenticity, with like they really truly want people to use your product because they've had amazing results. And the third party endorsement from clients that have used it is more powerful than any marketing you're going to put out there saying this is amazing, right? And so we have all these budgets for client acquisition. We don't actually have all these budgets for client success and retention. And so we're trying to help people understand how to budget, whether it's money, time, focus, whatever that happens to be. Because when you do, every dollar you spend on the front becomes many more dollars on the backside, right? And so it's just really important.
That makes a lot of sense. And just like you said, it's that sale point is not the end of the journey. They are onboarding. It's just a different relationship stage. So if you think about the funnel before, now you've got a point in time where they say yes, and then you have that funnel afterwards where it is that building the relationship, because it's turning intention into commitment, you know, getting them those wins and continuing to move them forward.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why I say like onboarding happens at various places, right? Like when someone first comes to your website, they've never met you before, there's an onboarting. Right. You're
like
onboarding them into your journey, right?
New relationship stage.
It's your world, right? It's a relationship change, right?
Yeah.
When they've purchased your program and they've had success and now they're eligible for like maybe like another level of program or they've unlocked access to something else, new onboarding. Yeah. Right. Like we can't assume just because they've been in our world, they understand what the rules and the game is for over here just because they were over here. And most of us do, right? And so like there's a huge opportunity there to really make it great for our customers. And like, that's what it's all about, right? We all think about lifetime value. Hopefully we all think about lifetime value. Like when a customer comes into our world, how much are they worth over time? And when you really start to expand lifetime value beyond the customer and it's all the referrals, like one customer can be worth a whole lot more than we ever really give it credit for. And so like every referral that comes from that customer
goes on their lifetime value calculator, you know? And so how do we turn them into these, you know, revenue generating machines? We do it by helping them have massive success, right? And it's just a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think so many companies don't do this. They don't spend the time that it's, this can really be something that is a differentiator, creating a moat around our business. I mean, so many people are looking for that competitive advantage and overlook something like customer experience. Do you see it that way as well?
100%, man. I love that. And like, so I think it is a moat. I think of it as a fingerprint, right? It's like you are the only person with your fingerprint. The experience that your clients have with your organization, with your products or your services, that is your fingerprint. That's what makes you uniquely you. And that's how they're going to identify, right? And with the world of AI popping up and everyone can create content, create a new business and do all this great stuff overnight and, you know, basically copy something, somebody else's stuff and just set up shop, what's going to differentiate you? If all things are equal, like if you could buy a BMW from this dealership and from this dealership, why do you choose one over the other, right? The same price, same exact make and model, same color, same features, same everything. Yeah. You got to choose. How do you choose? Which one's going to go a little further for you? Which one's going to be there when you need it? Which one's going to do the things that actually make you feel like you matter, like you're not just a transaction? Right. And that's true of every business. We just don't always think of it that way because your software is different from your software. Yes. And right. At the end of the day, I might be happy to try and like lose these three features to go to this one because it's 5 cents cheaper or because it seems like it has one other whiz bang thing or whatever. Right. And so it is that experience like that builds loyalty, that builds referability. You know, so it is the moat around your business. I love that analogy. And you know, it's so funny. I think I said this to you when we were chatting earlier, like I've been saying this for like the 30 years that I've been doing this. And every time I say it, I'm like, it's more true today than it ever has been before. And Jeff, it is more true today than it ever has been before.
The
world is getting more competitive. The internet keeps creating, like your competition is like one click away. And in some cases you can have a whole list of amazing competitors with like all sorts of analysis from AI in like, you know, one click. So your competitors are less than a click away because you get a list of 10 for one click. So it's like today we have to do this. The companies who will be successful will focus on this, like period. Like it is, I am 100% certain.
And it makes sense. So you're really creating experience, you're creating community, you're creating something more than just a product. Which, you know, probably, you know, and there could certainly be some arguments about this, but yeah, a lot of products are pretty close to commodities because one is very similar to another, mm-hmm. and technology is continuing to evolve, and I think that's becoming more and more true. That one CRM is very much like another CRM. You know, what's the real difference?
Exactly.
And people can argue about features, and somebody may have one feature that's an advantage now, and their competitors will have that in a couple of months, and it's the way that it is. But this is something that a lot of companies don't spend the time, they don't spend the effort to do, and this really can be a differentiator because it's, you know, not just in the onboarding process, but it's the ongoing relationship and the preference and the referrals and the lifetime value and preventing churn, which if we're going to scale a company, I mean, we have to stop churn.
And it's like, so there's so many things there, right? Like the churn, like we spend so much time again on getting new customers, we forget about the ones that already said yes. So we're chasing strangers instead of the people who said yes, which in my mind is ludicrous, right?
Yes,
number one.
Yes.
Right. And number two, it's like, if you think about what you just said, like with all the features, like, in, you know, back in the old days, right? Like, you know, if you ever read a great book, Joe Pyne and James Gilmore wrote The Experience Economy. It's an oldie but a goodie. I've had the good fortune of working closely with them for years. And the interesting thing about like what they talk about is like, you know, we went from like a raw goods economy where you could go, the farmers would go to market and sell their grain and they would sell their sugar and whatever. And then, you know, we went from that to, we went to a produced goods, right? You know, manufacturing kind of thing where you'd buy like the bread, like would be made. And then, you know, we had a products economy. Then we had a services economy, right? And so services were the way that we got out of commoditized products. But now services are commoditized, right?
Yeah.
Like we can outsource things to like agencies that all do the same thing. We can outsource it to tech, right? We don't always need people anymore to do a lot of things that we used to need people for, right? So like services are commoditized. The only thing that isn't is how you make people feel.
Wow. Right?
Like
yeah.
that is the only thing. Like, so unless you want to race to the bottom and just, and keep going there, then you need to listen to this, right? Whether you listen to me or anybody else that's talking about it, I don't know a lot of people that are, but like, this is the thing that you have to be focusing on because it is the way, right? And so it's not just about like, so it's in experience, the definition, we haven't really defined it. I want to leave people with this thought about what it is. It's not what you do. It's the result of everything you do, right? It's not the cause, it's the effect, right? So people have an experience, right? It's the perception of how people feel after the interactions with your brand, your business, your product, your service. And so as you start to think about this whole idea of experience, it's not giving them a gift. It's not just giving them a discount. It's not just giving them better customer service. It's not, it's the sum of the parts. It's eliminating the frictions. It's finding the moments that matter most and leaning into those. It's finding the moments that matter least and not making such a big deal. Because if we are always over-delivering and we're always loud, people are like, oh my gosh, they want to close their ears. It's too loud. There's no 10 if there's not a 1 through 9 because there's no context.
Yeah.
Right? And so we have to look at our business and we have to stop this kind of chronic over-delivery. We have to go into strategically over-delivering in key moments that matter. And we need to really make the process easier for people. Then when you do that, you will win. Because we lose customers in micro moments. Everything can be going fine and there can be one bad moment and a raving fan becomes a raving lunatic. And it's in a blink of an eye, man. It's in a blink of an eye. You've seen it on social media. You've seen it on Yelp. You've seen it on, you know, it happens. And it's the way you handle those situations will mean more. And if you did all the things that we're talking about leading up to that and something goes wrong, because it will, because it's Murphy's laws out there.
Sure.
It's the way you then show up and then you've built so much goodwill and trust and respect. You're not going to have the raving lunatic situations all that often, right? You're not. We can't control you. You're going to get a lunatic at some point, right? That's going to happen. I'm not going to guarantee no lunatics, but I will guarantee that you have far fewer really great people that get really annoyed because you've built the trust and you've built the relationship and they really do value it.
Yeah. One last question, just thinking back to the beginning and, you know, going into the retail place and one of TVs hung up. And he asked the question, you know, why? What do you want on there? Like, well, we don't know. And it's probably because we saw him somewhere else and that was really cool. So we thought we'd do it here too. How do we avoid falling into that in our companies when we see something going on somewhere else and go, oh, let's do that and see something. Oh, let's do that too. And let's do that. And you end up with a mishmash of stuff, but not really coordinated and figuring out what does that journey look like?
I love that question. Thank you. So back when this all went down, right, back in the retail store days, it was Foot Locker that was the client at the time, right? And back when we were doing that, and it was about creating a store of the future for them, right? The internet was just becoming a big deal and they were afraid they were going to lose all the retail foot traffic to the .com traffic. And like I started talking about it and I had this epiphany that I had to tell other people. And so I published this article at the time that started to go viral back then. And we didn't have the internet so big then. It was like in magazines and whatever. I got picked up and I got called to do interviews on little like local broadcast television things. And it was like a big deal at the time. And the article was called Strategy Trumps Technology, right?
Ooh,
that's
like
what
that.
I called the article, right? And so forget the word technology in this instance, right? Strategy trumps tactics in this scenario, right? And so if you see everybody else doing it, that doesn't mean you should. It means maybe you should think about it, but it doesn't mean you should do it. What I want you to do is I want you to reverse engineer your customer journey. And so here's how I want you to do it. I want you to start out with your avatar. So understand who your customer really is. Pick, if you have 5 avatars in your business, 5 different kind of customer prototypes, pick one. Pick the most frequent one, like the one that is like the largest percentage of your customer base. And then I want you to do a theater trick with me, right? We started with theater. We're going to end with theater here, right? So I want you to do a theater trick. Pretend you're Matthew McConaughey and you're going to play this customer in a play on stage, in a film. And you need to be believable to the audience. I want you to get into their shoes. I want you to get into character. I want you to think about what they had for breakfast. I want you to think about what they said to their kids before they left for work. What car they drove in? Did they get frustrated on the drive? What articles did they read? What television shows did they watch? How do they feel? How do they, like, I want you to really get into their head so you understand who they are. And once you're there, I want you to imagine that you just completed the journey. It could be the entire journey of like going through your whole process. It could be the onboarding. Pick a point in time. So, but let's say you're doing your whole journey. So they just finished using your software platform. They got all onboarded. They got it working and they're having results with it, right? So they're at that milestone where it's like, it's working, it's implemented, it's across the organization. And that customer is sitting on an airplane and he's talking to someone and he's just had the best day. Like everything is firing on all cylinders. He spent a bunch of money on that. And the person's like, why are you like smiling so much? And he's like, dude, you won't even believe this. And he goes into this whole like monologue about the journey he went on with your business. Like, I was looking for this piece of software forever. I tried like 10 different ones. And would you believe that when I finally found this one, it blew my mind. Like, I wasn't sure when I first signed up. It seemed like it was gonna be complicated, but every step of the way, they made it easy for me. Like, it was like bite-sized chunks and they kept celebrating like every time we took one. So it got like so exciting to do it that my entire team jumped on and they were just doing it. And we were beating the average of how all their customers did it. And as we went through it, like, I was worried that my people wouldn't even want to use this software because they were so used to doing it the old way. But all of a sudden they fell in love with it. And they fell in love with their customer, like account manager too. Like it's, I've never seen my team so engaged before. Like, if you have this in your business, you have to go try out Jeff's software. I want you to write that from their perspective of what their journey was. And then I want you to ask yourself, does hanging a screen get them there?
Oh, wow, that's good.
And if I hung the screen, what needs to be on that screen to get them there, right? And if it doesn't fit, you don't do it. If it does fit and make it better, then you consider doing it. And then you look for the right place to put it, right? We do things with intention. It's always by design, not by default. And so whatever you're thinking about, put yourself in the shoes of your customer. Look at it through their lenses. Get into character. Understand what success looks like for them and what their journey is going to feel like for them. And then figure out how to actually have it happen so that they will authentically recite that script. Because you can do all those things. You just have to dream them up, right? There's a great quote from Napoleon Hill where he's like, you know, whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve.
Yep.
Manifest this, right? If you can conceive what that ideal testimonial is and you believe it, you can put it in place and you will achieve it. Like, I've seen it happen with every client I work with. You just have to start at the end, not at the beginning.
Outstanding. Jason, where can people learn more about you and about CX Formula online?
Yeah, so you can definitely check out our website, cxformula.com. But Jeff, if it's cool, I have a little special something for your audience.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm gonna be a little cute here, and I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is because I really want to create a little curiosity. But it is one of these ideas of strategy trumps technology. So I'm going to give you an idea. Like, it's a PDF. It's less than 10 minutes to go through it. It will change the way you think about your customers. It will change the way you think about your employees. It will change the way you think about your business. And it then gives you actionable ideas. Like, you can, it'll help you figure out what to do with it. So all I ask is, if you download it, don't make it shelfware. Like, actually, like, open the PDF and look at it. And like, I would love an email or two from some people. Like, tell me what you loved about it. Or more importantly, tell me how you used it. Right? That's why we do this. I want to help people. So if you're down for that, it's at gift.cxformula.com/sassfuel. And I'm sure you'll put the link in the show notes or whatever for everybody. Yeah, I'd love to help people out. That's why we do this.
Absolutely. And we'll definitely put that in the show notes, gift.cxformula.com/sassfuel. Or just go to the show notes, sassfuel.com, and it will be right there for you. So Jason, awesome. Fantastic. Fantastic. Really appreciate you being here. Some great tips today.
100%, man. Wouldn't be anywhere else. Love it.
Thanks again, Jason, for rocking the show and sharing your journey and insights. I love the audacity of creating an amazing in-person buying experience around shoes. I mean, who would think to do something like that? It's just awesome. You can learn more about Jason and CX Formula at cxformula.com. As always, all links, highlights, resources, and full show notes are available at sasfuel.com. And be sure to check us out on YouTube as well. Full episodes, video shorts, training, outtakes, all sorts of things over there for you. If you want to start a meaningful conversation with a friend, share this episode with them and dive into a deep discussion. Everyone who shares this week gets the Bibliophiles AI Brew. It's a coffee maker that not only crafts the perfect cup, but also recommends an ideal book to pair with each blend. Sip, read, and savor. Join us Thursday on our SaaS Fuel Expert Series, where my guest is Arthur Petropoulos, founder of Hillview Partners. Great insights on how to make your company attractive for investment or exit, plus a handful of common mistakes that founders make that cost them a small fortune. And next Tuesday, we have founder Joran Hoffman, founder of Redditus. He created a SaaS to manage affiliate programs for SaaS companies. That might disrupt the space-time continuum. Come back next Thursday and we'll find out if it does. So I will see you next time. And as always, enjoy the journey.
Thanks for listening to SaaS Fuel. Full show notes for each episode, which includes a summary, key takeaways, quotes, and any resources mentioned, are available at sasfuel.com. Be sure to follow and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're enjoying the content and getting value from these episodes, please leave us a rating and review at ratethispodcast.com/sasfuel. We'll be sure to read these out on future episodes. Let's go!